Well, you didn't tell me it's his wife who's running out of board.
Welcome, everybody. I will call the Senate Committee on Rules to order. I apologize for the late start. This is the time in session when people are being pulled in all kinds of different directions. And Senator Roblin has told me that he'll be a little late, but he will be here soon. So we have a list of confirmations, and so we will start right in with the Oregon Health and Science University Board of Directors. And we have our nominee, Anna Brar, by phone. Hello?
Hi, this is Anna.
Hi, this is Jenny Burdick. I chair the Senate Rules Committee, and we have our members here and would love to hear from you about why you're interested in serving on the Oregon Health and Sciences University Board of Directors.
Yeah, thank you, Senator Burdick. And hello, everyone, Senators. Burdick, Ferrioli, Mayor Boquist, and Roblin. My name for the record, again, is Anna Brar, and I'm a second-year medical student, and I'm a candidate for the student position on the OHSU Board of Directors. So a little bit about me. I'm actually from Roseburg, but I was born in India and grew up in the U.S. as a socioeconomically disadvantaged minority, and have long been interested in the role access to high-quality health care plays in building and maintaining a healthy society. I was fortunate to have the opportunity to attend Oregon State University, where I pursued my interest in science as a biochemistry and biophysics major. And even at the time, I was really interested in public service, and so I became involved with student government and helped to found the graduate student task force and helped to petition for 24-hour access to to the student library. But I was really wanting more experience learning about the internal operations of large organizations like Oregon State. So at that time, I was selected to serve on the board of directors for the Oregon State Student Alumni Association. And that really helped me gain some insight into how large, complex organizations are governed. And at that point, I wanted to get back to a rural community, so I worked in Douglas County to help build the rural healthcare workforce with AHEC, or Area Health Education Centers, and I was able to see firsthand the challenges that our rural communities are facing in access to healthcare, and really what the role is that OHSU can play in cultivating the healthcare workforce in Oregon.
Okay.
And really, I've taken that sort of inspiration with me at medical school at OHSU and come to the realization that through all my coursework, that although my skills as a physician will help me make a meaningful impact in the lives of my individual patients, I really have to stay involved in the governance of medicine in order to really have a broader impact on the healthcare community.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you very much. Do we have questions from the committee? We don't. Thank you very much, and we will be voting on this at the end of the meeting.
Okay, yeah, thank you so much, Senators, and I really thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Now we will open a public hearing on the Board of Trustees of Portland State University, Gregory Hinckley, who will also be by phone. Mr. Hinckley.
Speaking.
Hi, this is Jenny Burdick. I chair the Senate Rules Committee, and we have Senator Ferrioli, the Vice Chair, and the other members of the committee present. So why don't you just tell us a few words about why you want to serve on the Board of Trustees of PSU.
Great, thank you. Thank you, Chair Burdick and Senators Beyer, Boquist, Ferrioli, and Roblin. I first wanted to thank you for being kind enough to let me conduct this interview over the telephone. I took a tumble this morning, and I have really managed to make a mess out of my knee and my leg. It's swollen about double in size, and I'm scheduled to see an orthopedic surgeon at 2:30 this afternoon to see what I've done to myself.
Oh, good luck on that.
Okay, thanks. So I'm from Portland, Oregon, the 18th State Senate District, which you know well, Chair Burdick.
I certainly do.
I am a nominee for the governor appointed position as a trustee for Portland State University. By way of background, I was raised in California and relocated a little over 20 years ago with my family to Oregon to join Mentor Graphics, where I've been the president of the company for almost 20 years. By way of education, I have a BA in physics from Claremont Mechanic College in Southern California, an MS in applied physics from University of California, San Diego, an MBA from Harvard Business School, and was a Fulbright Fellow in theoretical physics at Nottingham University in England. I'm also an honorary professor in electrical and electronic engineering at the University of Nottingham in Ningbo, China. So I think I have probably a lot more academic exposure than most people.
Great.
I'm not a graduate of Portland State University, but I've been active with it for more than a decade. I've been serving on an advisory board for the engineering college, and I've been both fascinated and really impressed by the students and faculty, and have personally been providing scholarships as well as funding for a annual engineering contest in Candy Crush. I've been professionally involved as a sponsor or mentor for a partnership with the university, and that partnership has involved donations of cash and electronic engineering equipment by the company, as well as a very active program to recruit PSU, Portland State University students, both as permanent employees and interns. I've had a passionate interest in promoting higher education for my entire adult life. I've promoted formal new college hiring programs in the companies for which I've worked for at least the last 30 years. Through Mentor, I've sponsored funding for directed faculty research in places as unlikely as Yerevan, Armenia, Cairo, Egypt, and Grenoble, France. And I've been a trustee for my undergraduate college, Claremont Mechanic College, for the last 5 years and serve on its trustee subcommittees for finance and faculty affairs. At CMC, my wife and I have also funded an endowed scholarship. It'd be a real fantastic privilege from all the experience I've had with PSU over the last 12 years to serve the university, and I would hope to serve as a trustee.
Thank you very much, and thanks for your willingness to serve. Are there questions from the committee? Okay, well, thank you. We will be voting on this at the end of the meeting.
Very good.
So, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we will open a hearing now on the Commission for Black Affairs. L. Nicole Roll and LaWanda Manning. People are feeling pretty chatty today, so don't feel like you have to talk a long time. If you get my drift.
Yes. In fact, LaWanda, sort of short like your husband's speeches, just short and to the point.
Welcome.
Welcome. Good afternoon, Chair Burdick and Vice Chair Farioli and committee members. I just want to be appointed. Is that what you want?
Would you give your name?
Just
give your name for the record.
My name is LaWanda Joyce Manning, and I live in Eugene, Oregon.
And that is the best speech ever.
Thank you.
For the audience, we know LaWanda quite well.
Quite well, yes.
Welcome.
Chair Burdick, Senators Beyer, Farioli, Roblin, and Boquist, thank you all for your time and for your public service. I am Nicole Rowe, and I live in District 22. I am here today to ask you to consider me worthy of your vote for me to join the Oregon Commission on Black Affairs. I believe I will be an asset to this commission because I understand how strategic proposals such as policies can shape a society. Societies, as well as nations, are crafted by thoughts, ideas, intellect, belief, and perceptions. In order to have a society that exercises its liberty to grow, thrive, and maximize its full potential, policies must be designed in ways that reflect the citizens' strengths and not their weaknesses. By degree, I have been trained to practice strength-based principles. By experience, I have learned how to use strengths of communities to build cross-sector bridges. By commitment, I have made it my duty as a citizen and a resident of Oregon to render my skills and expertise through active participation in civic affairs. In closing, I mentioned policy shape of shape societies. The optimal shape or form for moving something forward and progressing anything must be well-rounded. In order for society to grow, thrive, in order for our society to grow, thrive, and maximize our full potential, we must include well-rounded candidates and participants in the policy process. Selecting me for this commission is an opportunity to shape our society positively for the future. Thank you for speaking, for hearing me today.
Thank you very much. Questions from the committee. Senator Roblin.
Yeah, I was just going to check, make sure that Alana and I, you're going to have 2 feet in the executive branch and another 2 feet in the legislative branch, and I'm wondering if you can balance that with your husband.
Senator Roblin, Chair and Senator Roblin, yes, I can balance it.
We worry about your husband. I just wanted to get that from you, so we're okay.
She's in charge of both, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Roquist, did I keep it short?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Who's that man in the back row grinning?
I plead the fifth.
Okay. I know who's in charge of my office, and it's not me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you both.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, for the witnesses who come up, these microphones are really sensitive, so keep well away from them, otherwise we get feedback. So our next hearing is the Oregon Criminal Justice Commission, Rod Underhill.
That's going to be a miracle. He's a lawyer. Is he going to keep it short?
Let's see. This will be the ultimate test. Welcome.
Thank you, and I'll do my best, but Ms. Manning set a high bar. Thank you, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Ferrioli. My name is Rod Underhill. I'm the District Attorney in Multnomah County. Small bit about myself. I'm married to Dana Underhill, and we have three wonderful children, Holly, Ethan, and Rachel. Professionally, I've been a member of the District Attorney's Office in Multnomah County since 1988, so I'm moving on to 30 years as a member of that office. I'm proud to say that in 2013, I was elected as the District Attorney for Multnomah County and served my first four-year term, and now have been reelected and began my second term here in January of this year. I would be an honor to be allowed to be on the commission of the Criminal Justice Commission of Oregon. I've been around long enough to remember the before and the after, and the after has us pursuing excellence in the area of criminal justice here in Oregon, and Criminal Justice Commission is one of those vehicles to help us in that pursuit. Especially in the last number of years, we have become more and more reliant on the evidence-based practices, the good, sound guidance that Executive Director Mike Schmidt and the other members of the Criminal Justice Commission have helped supply for us. And so as both a practitioner and now hopefully as a member of the commission, it would be an honor for me to participate in that fashion. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for your willingness to serve. Absolutely. Are there questions from the committee? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, now we will open a public hearing on the State Board of Direct Midwifery. Direct Entry Midwifery, Kelsey Fisher. I think I said that right.
Yep.
Who's going to correct you?
Thank you. My name is Kelsey Fisher. I am a nominee for the governor-appointed Board of Direct Entry Midwifery. Throughout my time as a student and then as a practicing midwife in Oregon, I practice in Portland, I've been somewhat frustrated with the lack of clarity in the length of the rules for my profession, and right now they're going through a major revision period, so I would love the opportunity to be a part of that process and to bring some clarity and brevity to the rules.
Thank you very much. Questions from the committee?
Just a statement, I'm impressed that you are spreading your skills around the world. That was good information for me to know, and now you're going to try to help Oregon. I appreciate that. So
thank you.
Thanks.
Senator Boquist?
I like her. She wants to streamline bureaucracy.
That's right.
All right. I like her because she pronounced midwifery the same way I did. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Now we will open a public hearing on the Employment Relations Board. Lisa Umshid.
She's actually a reappointment, but required attendance, right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome.
Chair Burdick, Senators, good afternoon. I am a candidate for reappointment to the Employment Relations Board. I was appointed.
Can you give your name?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Lisa Umscheid, and I live in Salem. I was originally appointed last October 2016, to complete the term that was filled by Catherine Logan, who retired at the end of September last year. I'm the fill the seat that is traditionally filled by a practitioner who has practiced law or labor relations on the management side of the table. Before I joined the board, I practiced labor and employment law for more than 20 years, representing public and private clients, most recently as an assistant attorney general at the Oregon Department of Justice. It's been a real privilege and honor to work with both of my two wonderful colleagues on the board and our wonderful staff, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Thank you very
much.
Okay, now we will open a public hearing on the Oregon Government Ethics Commission, Daniel Mason and Charles Starr. Welcome. Why don't you start, Charles?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, it's been my privilege to have had the opportunity to serve with each of you.
And you have to put your name on the record, even if you did.
And I am Charles Starr, still. And it's been an honor for me to serve the state of Oregon for 26 years in elected office. And I'm not still serving because I couldn't get myself reelected. But I do enjoy public service. And I think my life and my experience qualifies me well for the Ethics Commission, which I am being considered for. I think one of my best accomplishments was finding this young wheat farmer's daughter in Moscow, Idaho, and marrying her 61 years ago. She agreed to marry me after I told her we'd have four sons. And we did. So, you know some of my boys. Mm-hmm. Certainly you know Bruce quite well. The oldest son is now superintendent at Harrisburg. The second son is 21 years a missionary in Mexico, church planting pastor down there. Third son spent 20 years in Cameroon, Africa as a Bible translator. And Bruce was the fourth boy. We've had a great life, but my joy has always been to serve others. And I would be well blessed if you would honor me by appointing me to the State Ethics Commission. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Chair Burdick, members of the committee, my name is Dan Mason. I'm honored to be nominated for this position as a member of the Oregon Ethics Commission. I believe our ethical law should be applied consistently without regard to party affiliation. Our ethical law should be utilized to gain the utmost public confidence in our public officials and our process. I have almost two decades of campaign and political experience, including running for the state legislature. That experience gave me dozens, if not hundreds, of opportunities to reflect on how people campaign and serve. And I appreciate that the State Ethics Commission deals in hard lines. In the court of public opinion, the media, and certainly spouses, mothers, and children of candidates have their own ideas of what is fair. And I think I've seen about everything, which has given me a bit of distance and perspective that makes me well-suited to focus on the hard lines of ethical compliance. I'm intimately familiar with ORSTAR reporting, campaign finance law, ethical disclosure requirements, which I believe are crucial for this process. Currently, I serve on the budget committee for the city of Hillsborough and the public policy committee for the Hillsborough Chamber. I'm past co-founder and past president of Emerging Leaders for Oregon, which is I've been engaged in this organization that continues to inform, inspire, and equip an emerging generation of leaders and encouraging them to be active and improve their communities, business, and government. On a personal note, I live in Hillsboro with my wife, Jacqueline, my 22-month-old son, Jacob, and my bull mastiff, Tyson. Thank you.
Hey, questions from the committee. Senator Beyer.
Oh, he's first.
Senator Farrell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a question for Mr. Mason. I appreciate very much the idea that we have hard lines and that Ethics Commission members are going to be required to make determinations. But I'd like to hear you talk a little about, and both of the commission candidates, if you will, about the idea that most of the folks that you'll be called upon to regulate are unpaid, uncompensated, elected officials that come from, and public officials that come from a large pool of people who feel that public service is an opportunity for them to give back to the community and may, for one or another reason, fall afoul of the complexities of the ethical reporting requirements and so forth. So I guess what I'm really interested in hearing, along with the hardline issues, the conversation about compassion.
Absolutely.
The people who serve.
I respect public officials. I've been a part of the process for quite some time. Not on the successful end. I've been engaged, and I think you got to have a high standard for what you expect from people who serve the general public, but also have that compassion for what these folks go through, because, like you said, they're not paid very highly in most cases. They're doing this to serve their community, and I think you want to make sure that you have a fair process in how those folks are being treated within that environment. And I believe that you all are servants to the people, and you should be respected as such, and frankly held accountable if the situation calls for that.
And I have always felt that I'm a compassionate person, but I also am one that can toe the line. And so I feel that I'm well equipped with life experience to serve on this commission.
Andrew, just a statement. I'm less concerned the higher up the food chain you get in the electeds. The governor certainly has access to all sorts of advisors. So do all the statewide electeds. Legislators have paid political staff and advisors. We have attorneys. We have a lot of resources. It's when you get to the uncompensated, when you go further down that list, those who serve that are elected by the same people that elect us but may not have the resources and may encounter difficulties in their first outing. I just put that on the record, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I applaud you both for willing to take this task on, and we know Senator Starr very well from his service, and I guess you couldn't get much more of a ethical standard than Charles sets. Mr. Mason, I applaud you for your willingness to run for office. You've done it a couple of times in service for the city of Hillsboro and your volunteerism activity in the Republican Party. I think that's noble that you've done that. However, sometimes that activity raises the question about if you are on the Ethics Commission, can you treat both sides fairly and deal with those issues? I mean, I've had pointed out very strong partisan statements that you made, which you could find it on both sides of the aisle, frankly.
Sure.
But it raises the question about your ability to be impartial. Could you address that?
Absolutely. I believe everybody should be treated fairly and equally under the law and individually. I come from a Democrat family, which is always a unique dynamic.
We won't hold that against you.
Sure. And it's been great. I've I've never been one to only accept views or opinions, you know, from just one side. And I value you know, differences, frankly. And I think that's one of the parts that I've enjoyed when running for office, especially in Washington County, which is not a you know, bastion of you know, Republican folks. So I definitely believe that I bring that to the table. Absolutely, I can be fair and nonpartisan, and that's absolutely why I signed up for this task.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question. I appreciate that.
Senator Boquist.
Just to balance out the statement here, because there's five members up here, and I think the Ethics Commission director will tell you, I think there's 12 political parties in Oregon. I know I was nominated by three of them, including the Independent Party of Oregon. So it's not just two sides. I want you all to don't think this is just Democrat versus Republican, because we have a third major party now, which is the Independent Party of Oregon.
Yeah.
And then we have a whole host of other parties out there. But I think the key thing that was raised by my colleagues that I just want both of you to keep in mind is that when the novice starts out thinking they're going to change the world, they make honest mistakes. And the one thing we need to make sure is to have an ethical and moral standard is when someone makes an honest mistake, they're treated fairly and honestly, and the book isn't thrown at them when they just made an honest mistake. I think that's the issue that's being raised up here. And just ask both of you to keep that in mind.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. I wanted to follow up on Senator Beyer's line of questioning, Mr. Mason. I was concerned to see a lot of inflammatory statements, specifically against Democrats, but it could have been either party, concerning me tying members of the Democratic Party in this case to contributors, implying that they're bought and sold type of social media postings. And I wonder how you square the mentality that went into those postings with your obligation to be fair and impartial to all sides, as Senator Boquist pointed out, on the Ethics Commission.
Sure. I would have to go back and see what if there was something specific that you were referring to. I absolutely would be fair and impartial with regards to, you know, both parties. I think during that, campaigns are intense. Campaigns are an intense process. But even through an intense process, you've got to be respectful, you know, of your opponent and of the other side. And that's why I think I could show, if need be, all of my campaign activity would be respectful with regards to individuals specifically. I got to live in the community. That's how I've always taken it when running for office, that I wouldn't personalize something against my opponent. And everything that I did or approved with my campaigns were specifically issues focused. And frankly, I was hit with some really ugly mail pieces, some really ugly digital ads against me. Everything from "don't send a slumlord to Salem because I'm in property management" to you know, putting me in with, you know, some of the Trump rhetoric of the 2016 race. So I am very sensitive to what folks running for public office go through, because I believe that you know, there's definitely unfairness that takes place. You know, I think going back to your original point on inflammatory rhetoric, I mean, I definitely, you know, did not personalize anything during that campaign, you know, from my belief.
And I also lament the state of campaigns these days, and it happens on both sides, and I'm well aware of that. The postings I was referring to were characterizing the Democratic Party or Democratic legislators as being bought and paid for, basically. And that concerned me very deeply, to have someone going into a job like this with a preconceived notion that one party is basically corrupt.
I appreciate that question. Chair, I would not refer to that as one party as being bought and paid for. I mean, that does not sound like land. I mean, I don't recall saying anything of the sorts in Facebook posts or messaging.
I do have, and we won't discuss it here, but I would be happy to meet with you afterwards and go over some of these, because I was very concerned.
I'm happy to. I would love to have a meeting with you with regards to that. Like I said, I come from a family of Democrats. I'm very sensitive. I get a lot of feedback from those family members, especially during my campaign years, and I'm very sensitive to, you know, how that looks, even, you know, from them. I have a lot of Democrat elected friends, and I'm sensitive to those relationships, especially being on the budget committee for the city of Hillsborough. I've always tried to conduct myself, you know, even during intense pressures of a campaign, you know, with the highest ethical standards. 2016 was a challenging year, and I believe that I still treated my opponent, the other side, with respect.
And again, I'm not referring to your campaign here.
Okay. So, thank you.
Okay. Other questions? Senator Bookus.
Well, I just want to point out it's all's fair in love and war, and I just remind everybody that there's two individuals that probably could serve on the Ethics Commission from the Republican side, that being Frank Morris and Bruce Starr, both of which were hit with horrendous media attacks that were indespicable, as far as I'm concerned. So I guess we have to remember that, unfortunately, for all people, that once you get out of the campaign rhetoric, and sometimes staff does that sort of thing, and we don't all know about it, that, you know, cooler heads need to prevail on the commission.
And there will be no questions along this line directed at you, Senator. All right.
Thank you kindly.
Thank you. Okay. Now we will open a hearing on the Health Evidence Review Commission. Leslie Sutton.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick, members of the committee. My name is Leslie Sutton. I'm the policy director for the Oregon Council on Developmental Disabilities. And we make sure that Oregon's laws and policies make it so that people with intellectual and developmental disabilities and their families can live like anybody else. We know that Oregon is strongest when all people have supports to be healthy as members of their community. Over 1 million Oregonians depend on the Oregon Health Plan to access treatments and supports and services so that they can be community members, just like anyone else. The HERC and the Council share a common goal. We want to make sure that the OHP services are effective and relevant in the lives of Oregonians. We know that policies are most effective when they have buy-in from the communities impacted and also that they are relevant. The Council takes its direction from people with intellectual and developmental disabilities and their families, and I firmly believe in working with a broad network of various coalitions to fully understand how policies would impact communities, including adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities, parents of young children experiencing disability, plus provider and advocate communities. So it's through these networks that I would draw on if appointed to the HERC, and thank you so much for your consideration.
And thank you for your willingness to serve.
Questions from
the committee? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, now we will open a hearing on the Home Care Commission. Lee Girard. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick and Senators. My name is Lee Girard. I'm the Deputy Director with Multnomah County Aging, Disability, and Veteran Services Division, and I appreciate the opportunity to share with you some of my background and interest in serving on the Oregon Home Care Commission. For 30 years, I've supported older adults and people with disabilities to access services, supports, and opportunities that help them to be as independent as possible and to be engaged and involved in their communities. My current position is with an area agency on aging that provides Medicaid and Oregon Project Independence in-home services in Multnomah County. So I have the opportunity every day to see the impact that home care workers and personal support workers make in supporting individuals individuals to really live effectively in their communities. The Home Care Commission has established a solid infrastructure of support for this important workforce and for the consumers that employ this workforce. There are many opportunities and challenges facing the commission, facing the workforce itself, and especially facing the consumers that live out in the community. So I'm very excited about the opportunity to support the commission and to help them to address the future needs for both consumers and the workforce. Thank you for considering my nomination.
Thank you. Questions from the committee?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Now we open a public hearing on the Oregon State Hospital Advisory Board, Giovanni Schoen.
Hello, hello. Okay. Thank you guys for having me. I'll give you, my name is Giovanni Schoen, and I'm the founder of Up and Over, and we do workshops and presentations and mentoring for middle school and high school youth. We recently started to do mentoring for youth who are transitioning out of correctional facilities back into public education or the workforce. Never in a million years did I expect that I would be sitting here. But I never expected that I would have a son diagnosed with schizophrenia at the age of 22. My son was in the Oregon State Hospital for a year and a half. He was recently released in June of 2016. Because of some hiccups in the system at the hospital, my son was released and I was not informed. And it took me weeks to find him. By that time, he had decompensated and had decided to live on the streets. For about 4 months, it took me and my community of over 50 people watching out for my son on the street to make sure he had clothes and cigarettes and money and he was warm until I got guardianship of him. Now my son is coming home after 6 months in treatment, and I'm looking forward to that. This is full circle for me. So to be able to sit on the board of the Oregon State Hospital would be a blessing for me. It would make all of this worth something and mean something. I'm sorry. But it would also put me in a position to have a voice for other parents whose children or loved ones are at the Oregon State Hospital, because at any time it could be your son, your daughter, or you. And I just would love to be a part of that process where I have a voice for those who don't always have a voice for themselves. And I just want to thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. And I think your voice is going to be very important on that board.
Thank you.
Are there questions from the committee?
Well, thank you for volunteering to serve.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now we will open a hearing on the Lane Transit District Board, Stephen Yett.
Stephen.
Welcome.
Good afternoon. And first, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. And I will not be chatty. my name is Stephen Yett, and I'm here as an appointee to the Lane Transit District Board. My interest in serving on the board stems from the fact that I believe I'm a good listener, a reasonably clear thinker, and believe that I may be able to add value to the decisions and topics that will be in front of the board over the coming years. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there questions?
Just
Senator Beyer.
I mean, Steve, I didn't recognize you in the suit.
Oh, that's going to raise all kinds of questions.
Steve is a well-known businessman in the Eugene-Springfield area and very supportive of a lot of public projects.
Thank you, Lee.
Sometimes chattiness and listening are in conflict, and I can tell they're not with you. Senator Robert.
So do you like this idea in Lane Transit to have bus lanes instead of having trains running all over the city?
I need to learn more about the entire
I think you tried to just ambush
on No, it's good.
You have to watch out for Senator Robert.
I actually have really enjoyed watching what Lane Transit has been doing over the years, because I think they've been very creative in the way they get things done. to get people to in-place places. So we look forward to watching how you do it on Lane County. And hopefully you'll be at Elaine all the way over to Florence, so we can be part of that.
Just put you on transportation. You can have my position. Right.
I think that's a yes vote. I'm marking it on my list here.
Mark it down.
Now we have an open public hearing on the Board of Medical Imaging, Melissa Downer Valdez and Jeffrey Kopecki. He's on my phone. We'll take Mr. Kopecki first. Mr. Kopecki. Hello?
Who is Jeff?
Oh, hi. This is Ginny Burdick. I chair the Senate Rules Committee, and I'm here with Vice Chair Farioli and the other members of the committee. And so just a few words from you about why you would like to serve on the Board of Medical Imaging. And start by putting your name on the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Jeff Kopecki. I am from Hood River, Oregon. And I have a long history of being involved with the community. I'm a school board member, elected twice, Little League, all types of things. I'm also committed to assuring that Oregonians receive the best health care possible. And in the last year, I've had the opportunity to work with both Radiation Protection Services and the Oregon Board of Medical Imaging, where I found there was an open position for a community member. And I asked about the position, I was encouraged, and I am now ready to provide services to the state of Oregon.
Thank you, and thank you for being willing to serve. Are there questions from the committee? There are not, so thank you very much for your willingness to serve.
Thank you.
Okay, welcome.
Hi, thank you, Chair Burdick and Senators. My name is Melissa Downer Valdez, and I'm originally from Klamath Falls. I grew up there and went to OIT, where I got a bachelor's degree in radiologic science. I moved to Portland to complete my externship at the Portland VA, where I stayed for a couple of years doing X-ray and CAT scan. Then I moved to Legacy Meridian Park in Tualatin, where I stayed for 13 years doing CAT scan and MRI. For the last 3 years, I've been at Legacy Emanuel Hospital, managing the MRI department there. I've been involved in the MRI Safety Committee that Legacy has formed to have representation from all of our hospitals to try and ensure safety for our patients, to build policies and help support our technologists as far as what we do for MRI. I'm interested in being a part of this committee in order to help have an impact on technologist education, as I understand we have influence on continuing education, which I believe very strongly in, ensuring quality images. Patient safety is a huge thing that I deal with every day in my personal job and try to educate all the time, and I look forward to helping have an impact on forward progress for all the medical imaging modalities. Thank you.
Thank you. Question from the committee. Thank you for being willing to serve.
Thank you.
Okay, now we'll open a public hearing on the Occupational Therapy Licensing Board, Kari Hill. Or maybe it's Carrie. We'll find out soon.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Chair Burdick and Senators, for having me today. My name is Carrie Hill, and I'm a lifelong Oregonian and graduated from Western Oregon State College back in the day and then went on to do schooling to become an occupational therapy assistant. This summer will be my 20th year practicing therapy in the state of Oregon. Within my practice, I've worked primarily in pediatrics in schools and also have had opportunities in skilled nursing homes, as well as recently a little bit of guest speaking and lab instructing for the Lynn Benton Community College program of occupational therapy assistant. I believe all of these experiences will help in the role on the licensing board, as I've had the opportunity to work with many different therapists and many families. And I believe the licensing board has an important role in maintaining the integrity of the profession and the high quality of the therapy and therapists, which in turn supports the public. And I just would like to be a voice on that board.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? No questions. Home free. Thank you. Okay, next we'll open a public hearing on the Oregon Board of Optometry, Renee Klein. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Burdick and members of the committee. My name is Renee Klein, and I'm the nominee for the public member of the Oregon Board of Optometry. I currently live in Salem, Oregon, and have lived in Oregon my entire life. I graduated from Oregon State University with a bachelor's degree in 2005 and from Willamette University with an MBA in 2016. Throughout my career, I've held several accounting, auditing, and project management positions in state agencies, and I'm currently manager in the Office of Financial Services, which is one of the shared services for Department of Human Services and Oregon Health Authority. I'm interested in serving as the public member on the Oregon Board of Optometry because I think it's important for citizens to participate in government boards that affect their lives. And as you can see, I am a consumer of this particular industry, so it's something that I can relate to and that I'm interested in. I also think that my education and experience will be an asset to the board. The other board members are obviously optometrists, so I'm hoping I can provide some additional financial expertise to the board. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? All right. Thank you very much. Our next public hearing, I'm going to do these individually. The Oregon Health Policy Board will hear from Dr. John Santa. Dr. Santa?
Hi.
Hi, this is Ginny Burdick. Yeah, we can hear you. I'm Ginny Burdick. I chair the Senate Rules Committee, and with me is Vice Chair Farioli and the other members of the committee. And we'd like to just hear a few words on why you want to serve on the Oregon Health Policy Board.
Thank you. Chair Burdick, Senators, my name is John Santa, and I'm a nominee for the Oregon Health Policy Board. Thank you for the opportunity to appear and to do so by phone. I've been fortunate to live in Oregon for over 40 years, to practice medicine for much of that time, and to work for several Oregon and national organizations as an administrator focused on health policy. I have been lucky to have many mentors, especially at Portland State University. I got my MPH there in 2005, and it really changed my life. I hope these experiences will be of help to the Oregon Health Policy Board, and would like to answer any questions you have. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for being willing to serve. Are there questions from the committee? I see none, so thanks again, and get on with your day.
Thank you very much.
All right. Next, we have, for the same board, the Oregon Health Policy Board, Dr. David Bangsberg.
Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Farioli, members of the committee. My name is David Bangsberg. I am the founding dean of the OHSU-PSU School of Public Health. And it's an honor to be before you today to be considered for the Oregon Health Policy Board. As some of you may know, I grew up in Portland, left when I was 18, but my first college class was at Portland State University, and my first job was a research assistant at OHSU. And it's a credible honor to return home to serve, to be the founding dean of the first formal school between these two universities. Our goal is to advance health and well-being throughout Oregon. I returned home after serving as a professor at Harvard School of Public Health and Harvard Medical School at a time when there is great need for public health here in Oregon. As a policy steward of Oregon's health system transformation efforts, the Oregon Health Policy Board is in a unique position to help our state deliver on the goals of better care, better outcomes, and lower costs for our most vulnerable citizens. My personal academic expertise is in impoverished populations, including drug use, mental illness, and unstable housing. And I'm excited to put my 30 years of experience to addressing these barriers to promote health and well-being in Oregon. I also hope to leverage the collective expertise of OHSU and PSU to train the next generation of healthcare workforce, both in public health and traditional healthcare. And it'd be my privilege as a physician to serve the state where I grew up in, to have an impact on the lives of Oregonians and communities across the state. Thank you very much for considering my candidacy.
Thank you very much. Are there questions from the committee?
Yes, ma'am, there is a question.
I thought you were pointing at him.
What? I might be in the next session because of the rate of healthcare increases. Doctor, I'm just curious if, as you pointed out, you know, we're in a transformational age, and one of the third item you pointed is, you know, how do we lower the delivery cost of healthcare? And I was just curious. I mean, you came, as you said, from Harvard back to here. Appreciate you volunteering. I mean, 68% of my district is ready to lynch every doctor and hospital because of that issue. And in the next biennium, education will be second to healthcare. Education is now the highest in the general fund. And, I mean, we've been promised all kinds of things. Do you have any insight as a doctor of what is the health status of the portion of how are we going to lower those delivery costs?
Well, I think we should try to reduce costs where we can with the primary goal of increasing value, to achieve better health outcomes. The best way to both reduce cost and improve value is to invest in the upstream determinants of health, starting with early childhood. It's my view we will either pay for health care now or later. If we pay now, early in the course of disease progression, before, well, small problems are small problems, hopefully we will save costs downstream.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions from the committee? Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Okay, now we have the State Parks and Recreation Commission, Victoria Berger, Douglas Duer, and Stephen Grasty.
That's Representative Berger.
It's Vicky, I thought.
It's Vicky,
it's
right?
It's a different person than I remember.
No, I'm Victoria.
No.
Is that because she's hiding her past experiences? She's told me her past experiences she wants to hide.
And she's an awesome Scrabble player, I'll tell you that. Okay, welcome.
Welcome. You named me first, so I'll go first. For the record, Victoria Berger. I won't belabor my credentials. I think I have served with all of you and enjoyed my service with the state of Oregon. If you'll indulge me, Madam Chair, with a visual aid, after 2.5 years of retirement, I have an awesome tan line.
That's why I didn't recognize her.
Caused by golf, but you can only play so much golf. And I still love the state of Oregon. I have the capacity and the desire to serve it again. And I think the Parks Commission would be a really awesome place to serve because I love the parks, and it's as far from the Revenue Committee as you could possibly get and serve the state. So I will stop there and entertain any questions you may have and let you know that I'm really excited about doing this. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee. My name is Doug Durr. I'm from the small coastal town of Arch Cape, where I live with my wife and three children. And I thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today as a candidate for the Oregon Parks and Recreation Commission. I'm a professor, a research professor who specializes in the natural resource use history of the West, including traditional Native American practices. I also work extensively with the National Park Service, helping to document the natural and cultural history of those special places and also to help illuminate what those places mean to its many, there are many users, from traditional Native American users to people who have used the natural resources on the land to modern-day park visitors. Simultaneously, though, my motivations for seeking this position are more personal. My grandparents and parents cherished Oregon State Parks. It's a highlight of my adult life today to be able to explore the parks and beaches with my own children. I view the parks as a treasure, a birthright, and an iconic part of what it means to be an Oregonian. And so as citizens, we all bear that responsibility of carrying those parks for a time, taking care of them, and then handing them on to the next generation in reasonably good condition. And so I'm motivated primarily by that, so that we can take care of the interests of the future stakeholders, so that they might stand in those same places to see the value in them that we now see, and so that they can experience that sense of gratitude as I do, that the people that preceded them did their job right. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Grasty.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, thanks. And I'm Steve Grasty. I'm retired. I have time and I think the passion to participate on the commission for Parks and Rec. I have a skill set I developed last year. I have a, through education and experience, I now have a doctorate in dealing with adversity, so perhaps that would be helpful to the commission. And then I really miss April 15th this year. I didn't have to fill out an ethics form, and I miss that. So this would be an opportunity for me to get to do that again. But seriously, I think this would be enjoyable, and it's a way that I can continue to serve the people of this great state. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. Senator Roblin.
So this is to Vicki Berger. So you ripped the state fair out of the hands of the parks and took that over, and now you, because you, as a child you worked at the state fair, and now you're going to take over all the parks. I appreciate you more than you'll ever know, as long as you don't leave the state fair.
Senator Rowland, I appreciate what you folks do more than you could possibly understand, because you have the really tough job here. I get to, at this point in my life, pick and choose those things that I'm really passionate about. And the state fair is one,
okay,
and
okay.
I'm not leaving.
Okay.
And state parks is another. I never had anything to do with it, really, when I was in the legislature. But that didn't mean I didn't care very deeply. In fact, his words were stunning to describe how I feel about parks. So
okay.
I'm not,
you're not
going
leaving
anywhere.
It. So, okay. That makes me, then I can vote for this one.
Senator Boquist.
Well, speaking of adversity and revenue, I just want to point out my pet peeve, and the director back there is going to smile as soon as I say this. I mean, we sort of need to preserve what we have and get any of the deferred maintenance done. The reason being is those of us who are still serving indentured servitude on the Revenue Committee have learned that the lottery proceeds are going to be down due to the new native casinos north of the state line. And so I would just point out to all three of you, while the nice thing about having revenue packages in which we just create low-paying service jobs is park attendance goes up. But revenue is down and is forecasted down long-term in the lottery side. And so as the commission goes forward and looks at its long-term planning, I would advise you that, you know, we really need to preserve and maintain what we have and not expand much farther than we have other than in critical services. And to the director's credit, if you guys need to vote on this, they are in fact identifying properties that are no longer viable. And so I would encourage you to, you know, join in that participation. And if there are parks and properties that we have that, you know, aren't meeting the needs of the public, that we don't hold on to them and pay for them unnecessarily. And, of course, it would generate revenue that could be used elsewhere, say, like the state fair.
There you go.
Senator Beyer.
Well, considering the good senator's comments, maybe we could open a casino at the state fair.
On Parkland.
We do have marijuana there.
The former chair of the Revenue Committee is very creative, so I will leave it in her hands.
Oh. I thought you were talking about you and pot.
We did have that at the fair. I guess the other thing that I would like to say is it is unique that you get to come on at such a special time for state parks. So we anticipate that being the 50th anniversary of the Beach Bill, could not stop to mention that, and all the work that the that is already going on there. But also, because you're inviting so many people from all over the country to come in August to visit our great state and spend time in our parks, and I hope you'll continue to open up new park spaces all over, because there's a lot of people, and if you can find a few more Sanicans, we would appreciate it along the coast.
Thank you. Senator Farioli.
Madam Chair, as a result of this
outpouring from the committee. I'm going to propose a rule that the committee's comments be shorter than the statements of the nominees. I'll just say one thing to Judge Grasty, who's a nominee here today. Water. I had an agreement with you when you left and you retired as a county judge that you were going to take a few issues of water in the Harney Basin, and now look what's happening.
Would you like to defend yourself?
Perhaps you misunderstand the word retired.
I think the Parks Commission is in very good hands.
The director's in trouble.
It's going to be an adventure for all. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Next, we will open a public hearing on the Oregon Patient Safety Commission Board of Directors, Daniel Roth.
Madam Chair, I think we should have that rule drafted.
You would be the first to violate it.
Exactly.
The ethics charges are flying hot.
To the guest.
All right. Welcome to the committee.
I'm glad I followed the Park Service. My name's Daniel Roth. I am a nominee for the Governor's Patient Safety Chair Committee. I am a resident here in Turner. I am currently the Chief Medical Officer and Executive Vice President for Pacific Source Health Plans. We have two coordinated care organizations here in Oregon for Medicaid lives. We have Medicare and commercial members here in Oregon. And I'm responsible also for members that are in Idaho and Montana and commercial and Medicare as well. My overall responsibility there is really oversight for quality, utilization, financial costs, pharmacy, and risk score. I've been there about 3 years. Prior to that, I was with a CCO with the ACA passing. I had a passion around seeing Medicaid expand and was the medical director and vice president for integrated services there for 2 years. And then prior to that, was here in Salem for about 20 years with Kaiser Permanente starting the first hospitalist program at Salem Hospital, where I ran that. I figured I took care of a little over 100,000 lives in the hospital setting. And knock on wood, have no medical malpractice claims. I wrapped up my career with Kaiser as the director of operations and medical director. I've served on innumerable quality utilization ethics committee. And I look forward to transitioning from care of an individual patient to thinking about larger populations and how we can afford the triple aim of better care, better health, better cost, and ultimately better safety and service to the members of Oregon. And I look forward to serving the state and the members.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? No questions.
Right, thank you.
Thank you for willingness to serve. Okay. Now we have two people by phone for the State Board of Pharmacy. The first one is Vicki Gwynn. Hello, Ms. Gwynn.
Yes.
This is Ginny Burdick. I'm chair of the Senate Rules Committee, and with me is Vice Chair Ferrioli and the other members of the committee. So we'd like to hear a few words from you about why you would like to serve on the State Board of Pharmacy.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Well, good afternoon, Chair Burdick and members of the committee. My name is Vicki Gwynn. I'm a proud native Oregonian. I currently manage public relations for Legacy Emmanuel here in Portland. It's the Level 1 Trauma Center, and we also have the only burn center in this state. I have been in public relations healthcare specifically my whole career. I am interested in the pharmacy board because of my experience working in healthcare. I've watched pharmaceuticals become a significant consumer issue and the main driver in the cost of healthcare. More recently, there's been in the news societal issues caused by addiction or over-prescribing of pharmaceuticals or even obtaining illegal pharmaceuticals. So this has affected people at all social and economic levels. And you can imagine that includes many people who aren't seen in our hospital. The service on the board is an opportunity to experience another perspective in healthcare, one that must be properly regulated and governed under the law to get the best results and keep our patients and our citizens safe. So serving on this board, I can offer you a willingness to learn, participate. Knowledge of the healthcare industry, having been employed in an HMO, a coordinated care organization, with public health, and now a hospital system. So I thank you in consideration for this appointment.
Well, thank you very much, and we'll ask for questions from the committee. Seeing none, thank you very much for your willingness to serve.
Thank you so much for your time.
Okay. Do we have her set up? Okay. Ms. Larson?
Hello.
Hi, this is Jenny Burdick. I'm chair of the Senate Rules Committee, and with me is Vice Chair Farioli and the other members of the committee. So we'd like to hear a few words from you about why you'd like to serve on the State Board of Pharmacy.
Hello, Chair Burdick and Senators. My name is Shannon Larson, and I live in King City, Oregon, in Washington County. I have grown up in Oregon. I earned my bachelor's at the University of Portland and my doctorate of pharmacy at Oregon State. And I currently work at a retail pharmacy in Newburg, Oregon. I've been in community pharmacy since 2008, focusing on the retail pharmacy and compounding pharmacy. I see the realities of pharmacy in the daily interface, both with face-to-face contacts with patients, as well as the trials that the rules are the board influence and how they influence pharmacy practice. So by serving on the board, I see it as a way to influence pharmacy to support pharmacists so that we can provide patient safety and earn back patient trust that seems to have been lost over recent years. By the way, pharmacy has been portrayed. And I, if appointed, if nominated, this, given this nomination, I would give the time, the effort and respect for the position that it deserves.
Thank you very much. Are there questions from the committee? Thank you. Thank you for being willing to serve.
Thank you so much for your time and consideration. Have a great afternoon.
You too. Okay, now we'll open a public hearing on the Public Employees Benefit Board. Kimberly Hendricks.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity to speak with you today. For the record, my name is Kimberly Hendricks, Superintendent of Santiam Correctional Institution for the Oregon Department of Corrections, and I'm honored to be seeking your confirmation as a PEB board member. I've worked for the Oregon Department of Corrections for 16 years, and I understand the importance of having a health plan that focuses on wellness and evidence-based medicine. Especially for staff who work in such a dangerous and high-stress environment as corrections. As you may know, DOC has made staff wellness our top agency initiative. Recognizing the difficult task of rehabilitating adults with high rates of mental and trauma histories is all more challenging when those who watch over and treat them are themselves riddled with stress, illness, and addictive behaviors. A fully integrated model that treats the whole person is critical. Working on ways to ensure a healthy workforce is very important to me on a personal level. As an employer, I also understand that whatever model is selected must be affordable. Long-term solutions must be found to address the ever-increasing cost of healthcare if we are to provide and sustain a system that meets the needs not only of corrections staff, but all employees across the state. With your and the full Senate approval, I look forward to participating as a PEB board member. And now I'll answer any questions you may have of me.
Thank you. Are there questions from the committee?
Thank you.
Okay, now we have the Residential Facilities Advisory Committee, Joseph Lakem.
Welcome. Thank you, Chair Burdick, members of the committee. My name is Joseph Lakem, and I'm a licensed clinical social worker here in the state of Oregon, 12-year resident of the state, which is my adopted home, grew up in the state of Michigan. Currently, I'm a resident of Adair Village, which is in Senator Boquist's region. And I am here presenting for confirmation as a position on the Residential Facilities Advisory Committee, the advisory committee to the governor's long-term care ombudsman. You have a great deal of my materials in front of you, and so I won't work to summarize them in the interest of time, but I did want to just give a brief backstory. I'm a 20-year veteran of the mental health system, beginning when I was 17 with volunteer crisis work, returning to serve in the field that helped save my life as a youth. I have worked to help the most vulnerable citizens of our state since my residence here, working across both private enterprise as well as nonprofit and public government. Currently, I work for the Benton County Office of Developmental Diversity. We are the pioneer program offering mental health services to individuals who also suffer from intellectual and developmental disabilities. I'm here primarily to offer advocacy for folks who are going to receive out-of-home placement in residential facilities and help to reform the system that we can all agree has some serious issues. Not only is it a professional goal for myself, but about 5.5 years ago, we were blessed with the birth of my eldest daughter, who was unexpectedly born with Down syndrome. So it's my goal to not only improve the system for the rest of the most vulnerable residents, but to build a better system of residential care for my children and all of our children. Thank you for your consideration. If there are any questions, I'm happy to take them.
Thank you. Other questions? All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Okay. Our last hearing, I will open for the Oregon Retirement Savings Board, and this will be by phone, Edward Brewington. Mr. Brewington?
Yes.
Hi, this is Jenny Burdick. I chair the Senate Rules Committee. And,
He has to mute his computer now.
Can you mute your computer or do something? We're getting.
We're hearing you twice.
Does that help?
Let's see if it helps. Yes, that helps. I'm here with Senator Farioli, who's a vice chair of the committee, and the other members of the committee. So we'd like to hear a few words from you about why you would like to be on the Oregon Retirement Savings Board.
Well, thank you, Chair Burdick and senators, and thank you for allowing me to appear before you with all of them. I'm nominated for a position on the Oregon Retirement Savings Board. My name is Edward Brewington, and my family and I have been residents of Lake Oswego for the past 20 years. I'm also a member of the Executive Council of AARP Oregon, and it is in this capacity that I've had the opportunity to advocate for the Oregon Saves Initiative over the last few years. I testified before former Treasurer Wheeler's task force and before the House Business and Labor Committee in support of this initiative. I'm currently involved in AARP's ongoing support of the implementation of Oregon Saves, working with the State Treasurer's Office. I believe that I can bring a multifaceted perspective to the board due to my extensive executive experience in private industry, many years of higher education teaching, a wealth of nonprofit board volunteerism. Punctuation to all of this is the fact that my wife and I have twin daughters who will be graduating from college in a few days, will be seeking employment if possible here in the state of Oregon. To sum up, I believe this effort to make Oregon a leader in encouraging all working citizens to plan and prepare for their future financial well-being is vitally important, and given the opportunity, I will commit to do my part. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, and thank you for being willing to serve. Are there questions from the committee? No questions, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, well, this completes our list of hearings, so I think we'll stand at ease for a couple minutes. We'll open a work session for executive appointments. And I'm moving the appointment of Dan Mason to the Oregon Government Ethics Commission to the Senate floor with the recommendation he be confirmed. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? So ordered. Okay, now we will open a work session and move the following appointments and reappointments to the following boards and commissions to the Senate floor with the recommendation they be confirmed en bloc. L. Nicole Rowe and LaWanda Manning to the Commission on Black Affairs, Rodney Underhill to the Oregon Criminal Justice Commission, Kelsey Fisher and Sarah Taylor to the State Board of Direct Entry Midwifery, Charles Martinez to the State Board of Education, Cherie Mass Anderson and Robert Stewart to the Oregon Educators Benefit Board, Lisa Umscheid to the Employment Relations Board, Charles Starr to the Oregon Government Ethics Commission, Leslie Sutton to the Health Evidence Review Commission, Larry Roper to the Higher Education's Coordinating Commission, Lee Gerard to the Home Care Commission, Giovanni Schern and Robert Stone to the Oregon State Hospital Advisory Board, Stephen Yett to the Lane Transit District Board, Lindsay McGrath to the Oregon Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists, Melissa Downer Valdez and Jeffrey Kopecki to the Board of Medical Imaging, Carrie Hill to the Occupational Therapy Licensing Board, Richard Heap Jr. and Robert Main to the Ocean Policy Advisory Council, Renee Klein to the Oregon Board of Optometry, David Bangsberg and John Santa to the Oregon Health Policy Board, Anna Brar to the Oregon Health and Science University Board of Directors, Victoria Berger, Douglas Durr, and Stephen Grasty to the State Parks and Recreation Commission, Keisha Norling and Daniel Roth to the Oregon Patient Safety Commission Board of Directors, Vicki Gwynn and Shannon Larson to the State Board of Pharmacy, Sho DeZono, Gregory Hinckley, and Margaret Kirkpatrick to the Board of Trustees to Portland State University, Patricia Bjorkquist and Peter Grover to the State Board of Psychologist Examiners, Kimberly Hendricks to the Public Employees Benefit Board, Raymond Byrd Jr., Casey Duncan, Kelly Dutra, William Geiger, Jeffrey Herring, Greg Marler, John Teague, and Dana Vitalins to the Board on Public Safety Standards and Training, John Rexford and Judy Stigler to the Quality Education Commission, Diego Conde to the Oregon Racing Commission, Joseph Lakem to the Residential Facilities Advisory Committee, Tony Garber to the Respiratory Therapist and Polysomnographic Technologist Licensing Board, Edward Brewington to the Oregon Retirement Savings Board, Anna Sanger Reed and Gail Swanstrom to the State Board of Examiners for Speech, Language, Pathology, and Audiology, Nigel Francisco and Thomas Sugihara to the Oregon Tourism Commission, Robert Baumgartner, Bruce Korn, and Eric Quamps to the Water Resources Commission, Doris Cancel Tirado to the Commission for Women. And that's it. Any discussion?
Just kidding.
Senator Roblin, you're going to have to go to your room. Any objections? So ordered. And committee, I think it's my turn to carry. And Senator Farioli will carry Dan Mason's appointment.
So we just leave these here for you?
We do.
Oh, we adjourn. Oh, we adjourn.
We do.